This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Yaakov Gelbart and the offices of COPE for having invited me to come to speak to all of you at this very, very special graduation. It's a cover to speak in the presence of Rabbi Zwiebel, Rabbi Scheuchert, Rabbi Balland, and of course, Dr. Brogan. But I just want to tell you that I understand where all of you are coming from. And the reason for that is that I give a very special mazel tov to all the graduates is because less than 2 years ago, right at this graduation, my son-in-law, Rabbi Ephraim Perlstein, graduated. And the day after, when the women graduated, my granddaughter, Rachel Pfeiffer Heber, who now lives in Lakewood, she graduated. And through both of them, through my son-in-law and through my granddaughter, I came to understand the grueling work, what it means to come from great distances to study and to be in a class and to have to prepare so much for so many difficult tests. And we know that throughout the 2 years, there are those who drop out, who just can't hack it for whatever reason. But the fact that you were able to make it and you finally came to this great culmination of finishing all the tests and graduating from COPE, and as it's called, CES, the COPE Education Services, is a tremendous bracha, a tremendous mazel tov, and a yasher koyach. Not only can you be proud of yourselves, but as I'm going to show you in a few minutes, Klal Yisrael is so proud of each and every one of you. Before I begin my talk quoting a very beautiful Gemara, I want to mention an organization that's here tonight that some of you may not realize, certainly the women cannot see the videographer that's standing right here in front of me. This is TorahAnytime.com, which is unquestionably one of the greatest organizations in Klal Yisrael. In less than 24 hours, every single thing that we say here tonight will be able to be heard in Switzerland, England, Canada, Chile, Mexico. Literally, without exaggeration, hundreds of thousands of hours of Torah, shiurim, all kinds, are available through TorahAnytime.com, and I cannot thank them enough for allowing me to be filmed by them and all the wonderful shiurim that you could all listen to, literally, 26-7. It's just, actually, not 26-7, 24-6, that's what I mean, right, 24-6. See, I don't know math, I should be in COPE. But anyway, 24-6, it's just absolutely incredible. I want to tell you a very beautiful Gemara. If you just close your eyes and just picture this scene, it is so magnificent, it's so elegant. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, Dav Gimel Amud Beis, Kinar, there was a harp, right? You've seen a harp. A harp is such a graceful instrument. Kinar hayatolu lemaila mitasei shel David HaMelech. Imagine outside David HaMelech's bedroom, there was a gorgeous harp. Any of us who have ever seen a harp, you know it's so beautiful and so elegant. And the Gemara tells us that at Chatzos, a wind would come, a ruach tzvainis would come, v'nayshoves, and it would blow, and you could imagine the soft tones of the harp would wake up David HaMelech, and he would get up and he would learn until the morning. And then right when he finished learning and he was going to start to daven, Chazal tell us that as soon as Amoid HaShachar, dawn came, Nichnusu Chachmei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, the Talmid HaChomim of Klal Yisrael came to David HaMelech. And they said, Adoneinu HaMelech, our master, our king, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, Klal Yisrael needs Parnasa. And probably what the Gemara means is they were telling him, David HaMelech, you have to daven for Klal Yisrael. They need Parnasa. But look what he answered. You know what he told them? He said, Amar lahem, lechu v'hisparnasu zemizeh. Make sure that you can provide for each other. Not that you have to go out to the secular world. Make sure that somehow Yidden can provide for other Yidden to have parnasa. And when you think about Agudas Yisrael, and you think about COPE, they heard this kinar. They heard this music. When Agudas Yisrael started COPE, as Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Chaim David mentioned, it was to make sure that Klal Yisrael was his parnasu zemizeh, that Yidden young men, young women would be able to come in a Heligas Sviva. I look around as Reb Chaim David, you think you're in a koilal here tonight. Really, it's hard to believe that this is cope. You know, you would think your mom is sitting in a koilal, at least from this vantage point. And this is the atmosphere by the men and the women, the Heliga women that we saw yesterday, that all came to be lechuv hispanus uzemizeh. That's the gresta bracha, that Klal Yisrael can be self-sufficient. And I can tell you both from my son-in-law and from my granddaughter, that Baruch Hashem, they have wonderful, wonderful jobs. They're very, very happy where they are. They are in Yiddish affirms, Yireim, Ushleimim. And Mitzvah Hashem, all of you will be able to do that. And so in 2 or 3 days, if you get a call from Mexico, or if you get a call from Chile, that they want you as an accountant, you'll know it came from TorahAnytime.com. So you're going to be known throughout the world, really, every single one of you. You know something? There's a very interesting pasuk in Keheles that Shlomo HaMelech tells us. And watch what Rashi says on this pasuk. The pasuk tells us, V'hakesef yana es hakoil. The literal meaning is that money is the answer to everything. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, Im ein kesef, ein suda. If you don't have money, you're not going to put food on the table. You're not going to be able to pay tuition. You're not going to be able to go on vacation. You're not going to be able to provide clothes for your children. Everybody needs money. There's no question. And that's the purpose of having an organization such as COPE, so that everybody should be able to be self-sufficient and didn't have to come on to other people in Klal Yisrael. I'll tell you a great story. Even the Satmar Rebbe, Zichat Tzadik B'Kodesh Levracha, had to go out and collect money for his moistas. There's a great story that he once went out to collect money and somebody gave him $47. So the Rebbe said, what's $47? Where did you get that number? He said, Rebbe, it's Begamatria, your name, Yoel. So the Rebbe said, as only he could say, in the Haim, Fleck Mechrifin Yoelish. In the old country, they called him Yoelish. Right? So you could be sure that that chassid had to pay the extra $300. But the point is, everybody needs money. And really, that's the beauty of COPE, that people can become self-sufficient, that they can support their families, their children, grandchildren, and mitzvah Hashem, great-grandchildren. So I want to tell you something interesting. I don't know if you ever thought about this. One of the speakers before mentioned that we daven Shemayin Esra. And isn't it interesting that we daven for refuah, that we should be healed, but we don't call it bracha. We're asking for refuah. We daven that Hashem should forgive us, slach lanu, but we don't call it bracha. We daven that those that are far away should be able to come to Eretz Yisrael, Semach David, Yishalayim Mircha. None of that is bracha. When we say Baruch Aleinu, that's parnasa. Why davka, when we daven for parnasa, do we use that language of bracha? As a matter of fact, those of us who daven Nusach Sfard say the word Baruch 6 times. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, V'sein Talamot Levracha, as you know, and then Kikel Tov V'Meitivotam Mavaruch Hashanam, over and over. And if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you say it 4 times. Why is Parnasa called the Bracha? And I think that the answer is because really working and having to go out to provide is really a curse. And where do I know that from? Because that's what the Eivishter said. B'zei asapecha toich alechem. The Eivishter said to Adam and Chava that now, with the sweat of their brow, they're going to have to come up with money, come up with parnasa. So that's a klola. And if that's a klola, so we ask Hashem, please, take away that klola. Give us the bracha. And that's the bracha of parnasa. Now, I want to tell you a Gemara. I still remember the first time Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky taught us. We were in a class that he was teaching in Tervidas, and he said this Gemara. I thought, first of all, my mouth dropped open. I couldn't believe it. Listen to this Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Tes Amud Beis. Rav Shimon ben Menasya Omer. Rav Shimon ben Menasya says, Chaval, what a loss. What a shame. Al Shamas Godol She'ovad Min Ha'olam. Each one of us could have had a shamas. Could you imagine? Now listen what the Gemara says. Shemolei niskal el nochosh. If the Nachash would not have been cursed, kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael hayu mezumanin le'shnei nachashim tovim.
Each one of us would have had two servants, two serpents, two nachashim. One we can send north, one we can send south. You send one to carpool, you send one to pick up, you know, the groceries. You have to make a business deal, you send the Nachash. You wouldn't have to do anything. That's what the Gemara says. That's how it was meant to be. That we should only be involved in Ruchnias. And you know something? If you take a look at the Mashah and that Gemara, and then you'll see what Rabbi Yaakov writes in Emes LeYaakov. You know how Rabbi Yaakov explains it? Ki ha-nochash b'tchilas b'riyosoy. When the Nochash, if you think about it, before Adam and Chava, right? He was talking to Chava. You ever think about this? The Nochash was able to have a conversation. Ki ha-nochash b'tchilas b'riyosoy ho-yeloi intelligence ha-shove la-Adam, Zok Rabbi Yaakov. Except that he didn't have Bechira. He didn't have original choice. But he had intelligence. And he walked on 2 feet. And he was able to talk like a human being. And he had intelligence. And you would be able to send him out wherever you had. It was only after that he was cursed that all of a sudden that his wisdom was taken away. And he had to go on his belly. But otherwise, each one of us could have had these Nechashim and we wouldn't have to have cope. And we wouldn't have to have that panosa. But unfortunately, because of that, we all have to come on now to panosa. But panosa is still a bracha. If somebody can provide for their family, Chazal are telling us, the Anshei Knesset Adola are telling us, that's Borech Aleinu. And that's why you could be so proud that you put in all the time that you did, and now you're going to be able to be self-sufficient. Now you won't have to come on to anybody else. You could work hard, you could accomplish, and you could grow. Whether you want to become a CPA or not, my granddaughter became a CPA, my son-in-law did not become a CPA, but each one of them found a place where they're happy. But it all started only because of cope. But I think that there's something very, very special that all of you have accomplished here tonight. And that is that you achieved a goal. And I want to talk specifically now to the students, to all the 33 students who have graduated. I want to tell you now a Chofetz Chaim, and the reason that I love this Chofetz Chaim is because, as you will see from this pasuk in the Torah, most of us who would read the pasuk would say, why is the Torah telling us? What can you learn from this? And now we will see the godless of the Chofetz Chaim, who makes not only a simple lesson, but a lesson for life. Let's watch this. The Torah tells us in Lech Lecha, Vayetzu laleches arzo Canaan. Avram Avinu went out to go to Canaan. Vayavoyo arzo Canaan. And he came to Canaan. Why does the Torah tell him? He wanted to go to Canaan and he came to Canaan. So the Chofetz Chaim says, wait a second. This is Parshas Lech Lecha. Watch what happened in Noach. In Parshas Noach, it tells us, Vayikach Terachas Avram b'noi. Terach took his son Avram. He took his daughter-in-law Sarai. He took his grandson Lot. And what happens? Vayetze itam ayur kazdim lelechas arza Canaan. He also was going to go to Canaan. What happened? Vayavoyu at Choron vayeshu sham. He came to Choron and he stopped off and he lived there. Zok to Chofetz Chaim, what happened? Avram Avinu had a goal to get to Canaan and he got there. Terach had a goal and he didn't get there. It's like somebody's on the Michael Zion who wants to go from Brooklyn to Lakewood and he ends up in Staten Island. I mean, I hope nobody's here from Staten Island. There's nothing wrong with Staten Island. But hey, you were going to get to Lakewood. Why? What happened? Listen to what the Chofetz Chaim tells us. She'ala odom leleches bedarkei Avram Avinu. Every one of us in life must be like Avram. In Mekabel al Atzmai Lelechas Arzo Canaan, you make up that you're going to go to Canaan. Muchachu lovoy hosam. You got to get there. You don't quit out in the middle of the 2 years. There are many who couldn't make it, but you made it. And if you made it through those long nights and giving up vacations and giving up family time, you know what this accomplished for you? This accomplished for you, this is a stepping stone that every student has to know that you could accomplish anything you want in this world. Just remember that. The fact that you finished this grueling course in 2 years and you went from the beginning to the end and you passed and you graduated, you have to look in the mirror and feel so proud.
because that means that you could accomplish anything. And now I'm going to tell you a story that is just absolutely incredible. There's a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Lakewood. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Ryman. And he wrote a book a number of years ago. He took the speeches of Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he transcribed them. And the book is called In Search of Greatness. So the book basically are the speeches of Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld. And Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld tells the story of what happened when he went to visit the Chazon Ish for the first time. It was the early 1950s. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld was a young man, and he was so intimidated. He was so frightened, and he writes like this, as only Rabbi Freifeld could say. The first time I was in the presence of the Chazon Ish, I didn't say anything. I didn't open my mouth. Most people wouldn't use that expression, but that's how Rabbi Freifeld was. Very earthy. He said, I couldn't open my mouth. That's how he was intimidated. He said, I couldn't speak, but the Chazon Ish spoke. Listen to what the Chazon Ish told Rabbi Freifeld, the young man. He said, Gedolim of previous generations. Numerous Gedolim of previous generations were not geniuses. Now, I want to tell you the three names that were mentioned. Now, I called Rabbi Ryman before I wanted to say this publicly. I said, who mentioned these three names? Did the Chazon Ish give these examples? Or were they Rabbi Freifeld's examples? And Rabbi Ryman said, I listened to the tape numerous times and I still could not be sure if it was the Chazon Ish examples or Rabbi Freifeld's examples. But listen to the examples. The Netziv, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and the Ketzos HaChoshet. The men here have an appreciation who these Gedolim were. And then the Chazon Ish said that a person does not have to be a genius in order to be a Gadol in the Chochmah of Torah. You don't have to be a genius. So Rav Freifeld, what do you have to have in order to accomplish something? Write this down, remember this. He says you have to have four D's. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. If you have those four D's, like all of the graduates had, that desire, that dedication, that drive, that determination, you're going to accomplish anything. And that's how these Gedolim became Gedolim. Not that they were geniuses, they worked at it. And they didn't give up. And if they didn't give up and the graduates here did not give up, that means that you have to know for the rest of your life, no matter what you accomplish, what you want to accomplish, whether you're looking to build a family, whether you're looking to build a marriage, you're looking for shidduchim, you're looking to become a wealthy person, whatever it is, you have those four D's. And don't think that you can't do it because you did it. So that to me is the Gresta Limud for all of you. That you can now have confidence that you could accomplish anything you want in your life because you've shown that you can do it. And if that's the case, then you're very, very fortunate. So I want to tell you a story. A very interesting story that I once heard from Rabbi Yisachar Frant. He told a story that there was a fellow from Manhattan who came to visit Rav Elwell Soloveitchik, also in the early 1950s. And they were having a discussion, and I don't have to tell you, Rav Elwell Soloveitchik was Rav Elwell's genius. And in the conversation, Rav Elwell says to the man from Manhattan, what do you do? What's your parnasa? So he said, I'm a lawyer in Manhattan. Okay, they continue talking. A few minutes later, again, Rav Elwell asks him, what do you do? Now, the guy couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, he just said 2 minutes ago that he's a lawyer in Manhattan. Rav Elwell surely heard him, right? But if the Rav asked him a question, he's got to answer it. So he was kind of embarrassed, but he said, Rebbe, I'm a lawyer in Manhattan. So Rav Elwell said, I know you told me that, but that's not how a Yid answers that question. And he said, bring me a Yoina. Watch this. You'll see again how an Adam Gadol learns a Pasuk. The Torah tells us, the Pasuk tells us in Yoina. Yoina's on the boat. And the boat is a whirlwind. And the whole storm is happening only around the boat. So everybody knows that somebody on this boat that's causing this storm. Because out in the rest of the water, there was no storm. So they come over to Yoina. Vayomer elav, hagidon alonu. They say, Mamalachtecho, what do you do?
Zog to Briskerov, let's see the answer that Yonah gave. You know what he gave? Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi. Ich bin ayid. Zog to Heiliger Radak. Kivin Sha'am, and then he said like this, Ivri Anuchi Vesashem Alakei Hashemayim Aniyurei. I am a Yid and I fear the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Radak says, Kivin Sha'am Hashem Alakei Aniyurei Heshiv Lahem Al Shaylos Amamalachtacha. That's the answer. What do you do? You're not a lawyer. You're not a doctor. You're not a negotiator. You're not a moil. You're a Yid. Ivri Anuchi. That's what everyone has to remember. No matter where you go, that's what you are. Ivri Anoichi. I want to say something that's very painful to listen to. I will never, ever forget. Ben Brafman, the famous lawyer, once had a discussion. He gave a lecture on business ethics. I still remember Marine Park in the shul. I could never forget it because everybody was stunned when he said, I want to tell you the three saddest words I ever heard. What are the three saddest words that this lawyer could have heard? He said, I was in a jail. And there was a father that was sitting behind the bars. And there was a little boy who said to the father, Tata, come home. Father, come home. Is there anything more sad than that? Ivri Anoichi. Ivri Anoichi, that's what you have to remember. No matter what the Nisoyan is, you're a Yid. You're not an accountant, you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer. That's how you bring money into the house. We all have to bring money into the house. But that's what the Pasuk is telling. That's what Rav Velvel is telling us. Ivri Anoichi. And every person here has to remember that. I just want to tell you one more great story. You know, one of the thrills of my life, really. And I'm so grateful to Rab Chaim David and to Rab Leibish Becker and all these wonderful people, Rab Nissen Wolpen, again, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who give me the opportunity to speak at the Agudas Yisrael conventions. Nobody can possibly imagine how much I prepare for those speeches. I remember a number of years ago, I had to speak on problems in the secular workplace. It was in Parsippany on a Thursday afternoon. Now, all of you know I am a Mayel, so I'm not really in the secular workplace. So I think for that speech, I must have interviewed, without exaggeration, over 50 different people. Doctors and lawyers and salesmen, retail and wholesale, every kind of person, residents, nurses, every type of person in the secular world. And then a lawyer told me an amazing thing. One lawyer said to me like this. He said, any semblance of truth on a financial statement is purely coincidental. I couldn't believe he was serious. And he repeated it. So the week before that convention, I'm sitting around my table Friday night. Now, I just want to say something. I don't know if this is policy that any of you would do. I'm a big believer in this. That many times at my Shabbos table, I'll have young men sitting on one side. I have young women sitting on the other side. And you get into a discussion, you never know when you can make a shidduch. A lot of young people that are looking for shidduchim, again, I'm not saying that everybody would do that, but that's what we've done. So now, a number of years ago, again, the week before the convention, I'm sitting at the table. I had this accountant who grew up in Chicago, and I had a balas tshuva. He was a balas tshuva, and a balas tshuva from Boston. She's on this side of the table, she's on that side of the table, and I say this thing. About, you know, like, I can't get over. That's what a lawyer told me. I'm going to say this over at the Aguda convention. So this accountant says, I could relate to that. I said, what does that mean? He said, you know, I'm an accountant, but it's not difficult for me to falsify an account. First of all, I couldn't believe that the guy would say it at the table. But I said, what does that mean? He said, I'll tell you what happened when I was a kid. He said, I grew up in Chicago. And one day, I had a 5-speed bike, and it was stolen. I came home, I was crying, and my father said, okay, let's drive around the area, let's see if we find the bike. We looked around, we couldn't find it. Okay, so I came home, and I hear my father say to my mother, now I'm sure that he didn't know that I heard him, because I was in the other room, and my father says to my mother, you know, we can't put down on the insurance form that it was a 5-speed bike, we'll get no money for it. We got to put down that it was a 10-speed bike. Like, listen, we'll get a deductible and then we'll get more money. So I grew up that, yeah, you know, if it's convenient, you know, you can, you know, say it's a 10-speed bike. Well, the girl on the other side, you know, that I was hoping, you know, something could work here, she says, oh, let me tell you a story that happened with me. So, like, the whole table is so quiet. What is she going to say? She said, I grew up in Boston, outside of Boston. And one time, she was in public school at the time, and one time there was a school play. And the teacher, the school could only afford 10 costumes. There were 20 kids in the class. So the teacher went downtown, and she got 10 costumes. And then they picked lottery, and I did not get one of the costumes. Well, I came home, and I cried to my mother. Ma, I also want to have a costume. No. So it's a Yiddish mama, right? Even though she wasn't frum, but she's a Yiddish mama. She said, don't worry, I know where she got the costume. I'll go down, I'll get you one. So now at the play, 11 girls had costumes, 9 didn't. The night after the play, this Jewish mother says to her daughter, you know, your teacher's going back tomorrow to give back the costumes. Take your costume and give it to the teacher. She's going back anyway. Why should I have to travel? She's going anyway. So the girl took it to school, but she forgot to give it to the teacher. And she comes home with the costume. So the mother says, what happened? Now, she was embarrassed to say that she forgot. So she said like this. I gave it to the teacher. This is what she's telling us. I said to my mother, I gave it to the teacher, but she said, if I didn't take it, if I didn't pick it up, I'm not bringing it back. So the mother said, that's what the teacher said? That's awful. I'm going to call her right now. And I said to my mother, Ma, don't call. She says, why shouldn't I call? So I said, I lied. And when I said those words, I lied, my mother's face turned so white, I thought she would collapse. She said, the girl says, it's 10 years since that incident. I have not lied once. Because every time I want to say something or do something that's not true, I think of the white face of my mother. By the way, that shidduch did not work out, in case you're wondering. Right? But look at the difference. What a meridik achrayus we have to our children and grandchildren, because they know, and everybody knows. You're wearing a black hat, a white hat, no hat, the yarmulke, colored yarmulke, snood, no snood. They know. I'll tell you a story that happened with a guy right here in Borough Park, Yidel Kleinbott. You wouldn't believe it. Yidel Kleinbott, he told me this many years ago. This was before Easy Pass. So what happened was his wife, they were expecting the sixth child. So the people on this side can tell you, the first child, the labor is very long. But by the time you come to the sixth child, you know, labor is not that long. 8 o'clock in the morning, on a busy traffic day, you know, work day, Mrs. Kleinbott says to Yidel, we got to get to Mount Sinai. Why? I'm in labor. What do you mean you're in labor? It's rush hour. How are we going to get to Mount Sinai? It's before Easy Pass. So he takes the car, he flies down 18th Avenue, makes a left turn at Ocean Parkway, and, you know, he's got to go through the toll, but it's a long line. So he goes through the bus lane, and he goes right through the toll. By the time he comes to the other side of Manhattan, the cops are waiting for him already. So where are you going? You didn't pay the toll. He said, my wife's expecting. We got to get to Mount Sinai. The cop says, why didn't you tell me? I'm going to give you an escort. And he gives him an escort, and the baby's born in the hospital. That night, Yidel told me, he's driving back through the tunnel. At that time, it was a quarter. The toll was a quarter. He takes out a half a dollar, and he starts saying, you know, I was here this morning. He says, oh, what'd your wife have? He says, how do you know? Listen to what the guy said. He said, they told us a guy like you is surely going to come back and pay. Could you imagine? How fast did he go through that toll booth? He was flying. Maybe he was wearing a yarmulke. Maybe he was wearing a hat. But in that quarter of a second, they figured this guy is coming back to pay. So they know. Everybody knows. You can't fool them. I have a mechutin. It's unbelievable. He told me this story. I've told it over once at the Aguda convention. It's unbelievable. He worked for Bayer Pharmaceuticals. And they had a convention of all places, Cologne, Germany. He wanted to go Cologne, Germany. I don't have to tell you. He didn't want to go. But he had to go. And he's sitting in this huge auditorium where they're serving dinner, which he can't eat a thing. So he has a soda, maybe he has an apple. But this mechutin of mine, he loves classical music. and they had a strolling violinist. Now, I didn't ask him if he was sitting there with a yarmulke. I'm sure he wasn't. But he's watching, you know, the guy's playing Mozart and Beethoven and Wagner, you know, in Germany. And he's playing everything. And the guy, and my mechutin is watching him as he goes from table to table. Now my mechutin is sitting there just having a soda. And as the strolling violinist comes to his table, he stops and he starts playing Hava Nagila. I don't know if the Chassidus guys here know what Hava Nagila is, but whatever. Ask Trump, he'll tell you. But anyway, but could you imagine? How did the guy know? He's sitting there without a yarmulke in Cologne. But they know. And if they know, then we have a merdik achrayas. And that's why when I said before that Klal Yisrael is proud of you, is because Klal Yisrael is counting on you. Because when you're in the office, you're not representing just yourself. You're representing all of Klal Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Gelbart was talking about, the hatred that spewed sometimes at Orthodox Yidden. Because everything that we do, we represent everybody. So I just want to end just with this great, fabulous story. Most of us here certainly remember Rabbi Moshe Scherer, who was probably one of the greatest Yidden that ever lived in America, for everything that he did. Just incredible. I had this chus to know him, to be somewhat more friendly than the average person, because he learned in Eretz Yisrael with my father, Olah Shalom. And after my father passed away, many times he would call and find out, you know, how my mother was doing. And Bechlal also, at the Aguda conventions, many times he gave me wonderful, wonderful opportunities. Now, in 1998, he was very sick. And he was dying. And he was chalashing to be able to give that one last speech at the Aguda dinner, which was on a Sunday night. And he wanted desperately to give it, but he didn't think he was going to make it. And a couple days before the dinner, the doctor came in and said to him, "Rabbi Scherer, you're going to make it. Don't worry. Write your speech. You're going to make it till Sunday night." So he took out a piece of paper, and in his shaky handwriting at that time already, he started writing down what he felt was going to be his final speech and his final message to the Agudas Yisrael and to Klal Yisrael. Because when he spoke, he felt he was speaking to all of Klal Yisrael. He wrote out the speech, and Nebuch, Sunday morning, he passed away. Now, of course, it was tremendous avelus, and his son Shimshi was going all around America talking about his father. And then somebody in Rabbi Reisman's shul, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, they called, they asked me if I would give a shleishim on Rabbi Scherer. Now, again, he was very friendly to me. He told me certain stories. He told me even one story about him and Henry Kissinger that he told me that I can't print while he's alive. And after he passed away, I did print it. And I wanted to check out the story with Shimshi Scherer before I told it over at the shleishim. So Shimshi Scherer says, "You know something? My father liked you. I want to give you something that I want you to say over by Rabbi Reisman's shul." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I want to give you his final speech." I said, "Shimshi, that speech is so chashiv. I don't know what it is yet, but why don't you say it?" He says, "I have so much to say, there's just no way that I can say it. You say it. I'm going to give you the notes." And I get the chills now when I tell it to you, because I remember he faxed me that paper, you know, not the original, but he faxed me a copy of the paper with the shaky handwriting. Listen to what his final message was going to be. It's going to change your life forever. And it'll define what we did here tonight. The Pasuk tells us, in Shemois Yotes Pasuk Yud Beis, before Har Sinai, before Kabbalah Satayra, rather, V'higbalta es ha'om, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, surround the nation, take the nation and surround Saviv Lamar, surround Har Sinai. Hishamru lachem, be careful, Alois Bahar. Don't let anybody touch that mountain. Unagaya b'katzeyu, anybody who touches that mountain, kol anageya b'har, mois yumos. Anybody who touches the mountain will die. That's what the Pasuk says. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Hashem says, everybody surround Har Sinai. Don't, there's a gvul. Don't pass that boundary. You touch the mountain, it's all over. Rabbi Scherer wrote that the Kotzke Rebbe touched this Pasuk in a totally different way. Obviously, Bederach Drush. But listen to this message. This is how the Kotzker Rebbe touched it. He said, sometimes a person has a goal and he wants to accomplish something and he starts working and then he gets tired. He gets burned out and he decides, you know what? I can't do it. I can't make it to these 2 years. I'm quitting. I'll never graduate. I'll never pass these tests. I'll never accomplish that thing that I set out to accomplish. And what happens? The guy stops and he lets somebody else do it. Listen to this. This is how he touched. Hishomru lechem alois bahar. Be careful when you undertake a project and you want to get to the top of the mountain. Unageya bekotzeyu, and you only touched a little bit and you drop off. Kol hanageya bahar. Anybody who just touches the mountain and starts accomplishing the goal and doesn't accomplish it, that's not what life is all about. And this is the final words that Rabbi Sherer wrote. Im zachisem va'alisem bahar. If you were zoicha, ready to climb the mountain, al tiu min elu, don't be from those hamastapkin b'muat that are satisfied with a little bit. Elishtadlu lalos maila maila. Go to the top of the mountain. That's what Agudas Yisrael is all about. That's what COPE is all about, and that's what the graduates are all about, and that's what we should be all about. Never, a yid never gets burned out. A yid never gets tired. You undertake to do something, you're going to go lamaila, maila. That's what the graduation teaches all of us. Of course you passed, and of course many of you will go on to become CPAs, and whatever it is, you'll be able to make a nice parnasa, whether you do that or not. But just remember, you reached the top of the mountain, and that's an achrayus for you for the rest of your life, for all the family members, for all of us here tonight. Never, ever be satisfied by touching the mountain. We have to go to the top. And when you take a look at what Rav Chaim David accomplishes, you come to the conventions, you see the talented people. You see those people who are reaching the top of the mountains, whether it's in Daf Yomi, whether it's in any project that Aguda takes. That was the mantra of Rabbi Sherer. That's what we're proud of. That's the lesson for all of us. The Eibishter should help that each of us should make goals and accomplish them, and we should be zoicha to see the light of Mashiach on Hanukkah. I'll just tell you this, you will never believe this. Rab Avadya Yosef said, you know what Mashiach stands for? You wouldn't believe it. Mem Shin Yud Ches. Madlikin Shemoinas Yemei Hanukkah. Isn't that amazing? David is a help, and we should reach that. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.